This is the Great Gatsby from Crete, Illinois, and you're listening to The Tony Dempsey Show. Sorry, Tim and Mike. HR called, if you know what I mean.
You've been canceled, finally.
It has happened.
We're being canceled.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's official.
I had to shut off the banjo to do that, yeah. We are being canceled. Oh, well. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Todd.
Yeah.
Thanks, Tony.
Real nice.
For taking over.
Two guys we thought we can count on, right?
Nope. Backwoods Bow Hunter, this is episode, I believe, because we've done all the Rutpalooza episodes in between. I believe this is number 89.
Huh. Okay.
So, creeping towards the magical number.
We're getting there.
Today we will go full draw talking about our season, our hunts, and whatever the hell else we decide to talk about.
Yeah.
Because even though the HR department canceled us, they have given us free rein to talk about whatever we want to talk about.
That part I like.
Yes.
Yeah. Normally HR I don't, but I'm in.
Do you like this part?
As always, we bring you incredibly mediocre content in a completely meaningless way. From the heart of Big Buck Country, right here in the Whiskey and Whitetails studio.
No. No. He's always doing that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He wants in the fame, man.
Turn him into HR.
Yeah.
It looks like it's got big dummy ears.
He probably does.
Guarantee it.
Yeah. Oh,
you can almost hear him flapping in the background when he's talking.
Yeah, yeah, you can. Backwoods is proud to support and use J&S Scents. Always fresh, never frozen. I've been using the Scrape Rage Gel,
yeah,
the Intruder Buck, the Chill Pills we just talked about. I haven't used Squeeze a Pea recently, but I did earlier in the bow season.
I'm bringing it out this weekend. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I forgot that.
Orange Army invades this weekend.
Yeah, they do. They do.
I'm trying to decide. I haven't made up my mind yet if I want to go get a over-the-counter tag, because you can archery hunt
mm-hmm.
during the gun season as long as you have the gun tag.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to decide if I want to go grab a tag just so I can still hunt, or if I want to just go hunting in Kentucky, or if I'll just take a few days off. I'm not sure.
You better get your shit together. It's already Wednesday.
I know. Well, I was going to go today if I do it.
Okay.
Yeah, it'll be today.
All right. Well, make your decision.
All right. Anyway, J&S can be featured on Dirty Jobs this December, so check that out on Discovery with Mike Rowe.
Kind of looking forward to that.
Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Or you can check them out now at jssense.com, or you can call Jeff directly at 618-614-4051. Get all your Intruder Buck and Chill Pills and Scrape Gels and Squeeze of Peas and Bottles of Peas, and he's the pea man.
Going heat.
There you go.
That's your winner right there.
Let's see. Scent Crusher, I have been relying heavily upon my ozone. I run those ozone cycles on a regular basis and just keep on a trucking. Keep you scent free as best you can.
I mean,
still got to play the winds. Ozone only does so much, but
you know what they say. Scent off, game on.
There you go. You remember it now.
Let's go!
Huntworth, I don't have a code for Huntworth right now, but I have been using the shit out of my cold weather Huntworth gear.
Been necessary.
I have been absolutely comfortable as hell sitting in the tree. I love it. Cannot complain about a thing. I could sit there all day, all evening if I want to. I'm not cold. Loving it. Thorogood boots. I just got my new boots in. I've been hunting in those the last three or four hunts I've gone on. I
saw pictures. They're pretty sexy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I got some non-insulated, and then I got the 800 insulate ones. I got the non-insulated for, you know, early season.
Yeah.
But I haven't worn them yet. But the insulated ones, man, my feet are solid.
Really?
To me, one thing that can ruin a hunt right out of the gate, cold hands, cold feet.
Mm-hmm.
Probably cold feet more than cold hands because I have pockets.
Yeah.
Cold feet, you're done.
Yep.
And
you can't stick them in your pocket.
No.
If you can, I'd like to meet
you. You can sure as hell try, and it'd be interesting to watch somebody do that from, feet in the air, 18 mm-hmm. feet in the air, wherever you're at, but it'd be cool to see.
Yeah, that would be pretty neat.
But I do have the Thorogood Infinity Series boots, and I pair those with Swiftwick socks. Swiftwick is a brand that we have in our running hiking specialty store.
Nice.
And best socks I've ever worn for hunting. I have gone, I've ran the gamut through all the socks you can think of. Mm-hmm. Bought them all over the years. I get free ones at ATA even, you know. I mean,
yeah.
I've cycled through them all, and I have problems with getting cold feet. And I switched over to those Swiftwick socks. By the way, you can get those at our store, so keep that in mind.
Sweet.
Paired with these boots, feet are golden, man.
Sweet.
Golden. How about Havilon knives?
Oh.
There it is. Do I even have to show mine?
Or no, you don't have to show yours. I've seen it plenty of times, Tim.
We're talking about the knife?
Yeah. We'll say that.
Havilon knives, I love the interchangeable blades. They hold an edge. I very, very rarely have to run mine through the grinder to resharpen it. I mean, it just holds an edge. But
yeah,
of course, you do occasionally, but
mm-hmm.
I've used this choker for everything. I've cut up and skinned squirrels with it and turned around and cut an apple with it shortly thereafter. And I remember when we had chickens, I was butchering chickens. I used it. I use it for everything. So
nice.
They have a fish fillet knife that I need to get my hands on, but.
Yeah, I'd be down for that.
Heck yeah.
Down for some fish.
That's fillets. Havilon. RTS Outfitters, we just brought that up a minute ago. That's for all your running, walking, hiking needs, anything in the outdoor space for the most part. If you're into running, if you're into hiking, if you're into backpacking, what else we got? That's probably it.
Hydration.
Yeah. Which we, you know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a runner, walker, hiker. Yep. If you're a hunter and you're going in the backcountry and you need some good quality energy, you know, we have energy hydration. So check that out, rtsoutfitters.com or runsucceed.com. Either way, it gets you there. I'll talk about the barbecue one later, I think.
Okay.
Another day.
All right.
Maybe next week.
We'll bring that up later.
We'll get into that one next week.
I forgot the bacon.
I know.
You know what happened?
I noticed.
I wrote a note, put it on my wallet, woke up this morning, grabbed my wallet, saw the note, and said, ha-ha, I need to grab the bacon. I went and made coffee, got my coffee, walked out the door.
Without bacon.
Without the bacon.
Yeah. Appreciate that.
You're welcome.
Just keep the name Wicked Pig Barbecue in mind. We're going to throw that out there right now. Wicked Pig Barbecue. Keep that in the back of your brain.
Wicked Pig Barbecue.
Yes.
Wicked hardcore.
And there will be some barbecue rubs that are dedicated towards the wild game side of things, particularly venison. So you'll want to get your hands on some of that.
Okay.
Deer are fallen, and you're going to cook it, right?
Oh, yeah.
I'll get you hooked up with some stuff. And then we do have a community page coming on Facebook. I'm still kind of not sure about it.
Yeah.
So.
I'm down with OPP.
You know me.
Yeah. Damn right I do.
So we'll just hold off on that, I guess, for now, too, because I don't want to put out a name and then people go to try to find it. And then it not there.
No, that'd be horrible.
But the name we're looking at, well, I'm not even going to put the name out there because then somebody might steal it.
Yeah, don't even do that.
We'll just hold off.
Jump on that.
Yeah. We'll hold off. Until it's actually officially out there, then we'll announce it.
Okay. That sounds like a winner.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Let's do the Blue Line Badass.
Sure.
This week's Blue Line Badass was nominated by me.
By you.
By me.
By Tim.
So my law enforcement career started in Jackson County. I worked for the Jackson County Sheriff's Office. And about a year or two after I had been hired, they hired a fellow by the name of Patrick Horseman. And Patrick worked in the jail for a little while, and then he went into patrol, and now he's working investigations there still to this day. Patrick is a solid dude, one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. Avid outdoorsman,
nice.
Good father. Do you remember the kids that were set up at hunting and fishing days and they were painting lures?
Yeah.
One of those was his.
Okay.
One of his boys. Big outdoorsman, and he started a YouTube channel called The Old Deer Guide, O-L-E, Deer Guide, Old Deer Guide.
Okay.
And I watched some of his stuff. So I just want to throw that out there. Patrick is a solid guy. He's a great officer, a great dad, a great outdoorsman. And now he has a YouTube channel, Old Deer Guide. So check that out.
Hell yeah.
If you want to honor a friend or relative who's out there or who has been out there protecting the thin blue line, submit your blue line badass to us at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com.
.com.
We got anything else before we actually get into meat and taters?
No.
Sure?
Yep.
All right. Let's roll with it.
Meat and taters.
It's the mystical flight of the arrow traveling downrange, searching for its next target. The thrill of chasing the elusive whitetail buck as it slips through the tall oaks. That encounter with a bull elk that is so close, you can feel its breath. The hair that stands up on your neck when you hear that long-bearded turkey gobble in the spring. It's our passion. It's our tradition. It's Backwoods Bow Hunter. And now, it's time to go full draw in the backwoods.
Full draw in the backwoods.
Bam.
So.
On the Tony Dempsey Show.
On the Tony Dempsey Show featuring Tim and Mike.
Uh-huh. A special guest, Todd.
I talked to the guy who owns the property in Kentucky. I'm going to go down there Friday morning and get a lay of the land. You know, let him show me everything. I mean, I've got it on Onyx, so I know exactly where it's at and what I'm looking at. But,
yeah.
It's always best to see it in person. So going to do that Friday and then make a decision from there on what I'm going to do. As far as I'm definitely going to hunt down there this year. I just don't know if it'll be during the shotgun season here.
Or
because they've got their gun season going on down there at the same time.
Do they?
Yeah. But they're set up a little bit differently. So I can still go down there with archery tags and archery hunt during their gun season.
Hmm.
Where here you can't do that. But
that's weird.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they're not quite as liberal as we are here.
Huh.
So we'll see. They're a bait state as well. You can bait in Kentucky. With the exception of, see if I can find it, Evan told me, because of CWD, there are, it was like five
restrictions.
Counties. Yeah, only the CWD counties. You can't bait in those counties.
Oh.
I
thought you meant there's limitations on what type of bait you can use.
No, you can't bait at all in.
Oh.
Marshall, Graves, Hickman, Fulton, and Callaway counties. So those five counties, you cannot because they're CWD zones.
Yeah.
But where the ground I'm looking at down there is in McCracken, so it doesn't apply.
Yeah.
So I will either, this weekend, I'll either hunt down there a couple days or I'll go get a gun tag over the counter at Real King and bow hunt here in Illinois.
Yeah.
Haven't decided yet, but I'm definitely not going to gun hunt. Either way, I'm bow hunting.
Yeah. I got you.
Just Illinois, you got to have the gun tag.
Yeah.
Even though it's a boat. So that's that. I acquired a saddle.
Did you?
I did.
Oh, Lord.
I have not broke it out of the box yet, but my thinking was if I'm going to hunt Kentucky, I want to be as mobile as I can be, you know, because it's about an hour from to hit his property from here is like an hour and 10 minutes.
Yeah.
And having not hunted it before, I just want to be mobile.
So yeah.
I acquired a saddle. So that little oak tree that's sitting out there by your truck in our middle of our driveway, that's where I'm going to practice.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
I would master that trait before I got out.
5 or 6 feet up that tree first. But so we'll see. But
yeah. Well, let me know.
I think that's going to be the best way for me. I don't want to go down there and put up a hang on or.
Don't you have a climber? Like
I do have a climber, but I haven't used my climber in a long time.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Every time I go to public land, that's what I use there. I don't ever put, like, lock-ons or anything like that. I just bring my climber.
The downside with the climbers is how bulky they are and trying to carry it in and out.
Mm-hmm.
And packing a climber and packing a backpack and...
Yeah.
It's just a lot, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know about yours, but it doesn't seem to matter what I do to silence it, the damn thing clanks.
Oh, I clink. Yeah. Yeah.
And it drives me nuts.
A lot of times what I will do is I will, like, in the morning, because I'm walking out and it's going to be, you know, cold morning, I'll put an extra layer, like a hoodie or a coat, and I'll tuck it in there when I lock them together. You know what I mean? I'll tuck the hoodie or a t-shirt in between the two as I slide them together, and then when I throw it up over my shoulder and grab it, the coat doesn't fall out, and it doesn't allow them to ba-bang to one another.
Yeah, I hear you.
You damn right you hear me. I make money move.
I added a couple new soundboards.
Elena was so disappointed when I said that. She just gave me that look like, you are worthless. Which I'm used to those looks from Elena, though.
Yeah, pretty much.
She hits me with them a lot. When I sheeshed her that one day, she told me don't ever do that again either. So, yeah, it's embarrassing.
I lost track where I was at. I bought a saddle.
Yeah. Practiced.
So I went with Hawk. I love tethered gear. I really like the tethered saddles, but I went with Hawk. And the reason I went with Hawk is because I'm using their Hawk hang-ons. I've been using those all season, and I love them. They're easy to deal with. They're comfortable. I love their climbing sticks. I love everything about that brand. So I'm like, if I love the hang-ons, I'm going to blindly go with the saddle too. Which is when we were at J&S taking the tour.
Yep.
That's what
he had.
He has, and the guy from his pro staff has as well. But, and I didn't base it off of that. I based it off of my personal experiences with their products. But
yeah, I don't know. I saw another video on one the other day.
Yeah.
And I was really looking at it, and I just, I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can do it.
As far as mobility, I don't think you can get any better.
No. I mean, can't beat the mobility, but good Lord. My chicken ass would get about 3-4 feet up near and be like, yep, I'm pretty high. We're going to hunt from right here today. I'll just hide behind the tree if a deer comes.
Well, and we'll see. Bogalusa, Louisiana. Where the hell is Bogalusa? It's calling me. We'll see. We'll see how it goes out here on this pin oak and go from there. But
well good luck with that.
If it doesn't go well, then Hawk might be getting their saddle back.
Or we may have a giveaway.
Yes. Yes, indeed. Hunting season thus far, how's it gone for you? I mean, I know the answer to this, but in case you didn't listen to the Rutpalooza episode from November 13th, we'll kind of rehash some of that. We don't have to go into as much detail, but.
No. My freezer's full.
Yeah.
I got my doe a couple weeks ago out in public land, and I shot a smaller buck this weekend, and you and Emmy Lou came out and.
Utilized the Backwoods Canine Tracking Services.
Yep. And like a gem, she went straight to it.
Yep.
I mean, it's one I don't think we necessarily needed a track. Right. It's not like I was like, oh, can't find it. I mean, once we got on blood, we were like, oh, there it is, you know. But it was still nice to get old Emmy Lou out there and get her some practice and get her first successful track in.
Yeah, so we've had, I'll get into how many calls I've had so far this year, but I've declined a ton of them. we'll get into that in that segment, but.
Yeah. Bad shots.
Yeah. It's unreal. I mean, I never thought about it so much or realized it so much until you're into the tracking game. How many calls I get, and it's all of these shots that are high shoulder, you know, had one in the rear hip, you know, one in the brisket. You know, I'm like, I'm not putting a young 6-month-old dog on these tough tracks. There may be a dead deer, you know, and you know, a year from now, call me and I may put her on it. But at 6 months of age, I'm looking for something a little bit more.
And
a
just
sure
a
thing.
Couple runs through, too. You know, it'd be different if it was like 30, 40 deep and you got one of these calls. You'd be like, I'm pretty comfortable with that. But when you're only 4 or 5 deep and, a little sketchy.
Yeah. So you killed this confidence. You killed this buck, and then we got her out there and she took us straight to the blood. There was actually, you brought it up on the Rutpalooza episode, there was actually some blood spots we weren't sure, didn't know were there.
Yeah.
That she stopped and was sniffing out, and we're like, oh, well, there's blood right there.
And the arrow.
Found the arrow.
Half of it.
The broken part. And you and I both think the favorite part of that whole track was her troubleshooting.
Yep.
You know, so we got into like a thicket.
real thick.
She tried to go through it initially. It's what I talked about on that Palooza episode. Was she's fearless as hell. I mean, she'll dive right into anything. She don't give a shit.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to go through that, and I was pulling her out of there. I'm like, there is no way I'm following you through that.
Yeah, we're not getting in there.
This is not happening. So we brought her out of it, and she figured out a way to navigate around that
mm-hmm.
and pick that scent up on the other side
yep.
and then carry on with that trail.
Yep. And picked it up, and sure as shit, there was blood.
Yep.
She was let's go.
Took us right off to the other side of it, and off we went. And then from there, we got down the second best story is we come out of that creek and there's a fallen tree. It wasn't very big around. Six to eight inches
around. Yeah. It was a small little tree.
And it was up off the ground about yay high. So mm-hmm.
8 to 12 inches, somewhere in there.
Yeah. We'll just average it out and say 10 there.
Okay.
So 10 inches off the ground. Your buck was like 2 feet beyond this limb. Mm-hmm.
We're all looking at the deer.
We can see the deer. Now mm-hmm. we're standing at a higher point of elevation than she is, of course.
Mm-hmm.
She comes up to this log, and I'm thinking, Emmy, just jump over the log. You got the deer right there.
Mm-hmm.
But her nose, she's down on the ground. Yep. You know, she's nose is on the ground. She's not paying attention to what's in front of her. She's smelling what's in front mm-hmm. of her. So she's like, I'm going to go under this thing. Yeah. So like a mouse trying to get underneath a door, you know, mm-hmm. she tucks herself as tight to the ground as she can get and wiggles her way underneath this tree. Just to come out on the other side and have a buck laying there, you know.
Pop up and take two steps and basically nudge it with her nose.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Another cool thing about that is, normally, if we're out here messing around and you bring her out, she'll run up and jump on you, you know, and play. But out there,
she
never once turned around and said, hey, guys, let's run and jump and do stupid shit. Mm-hmm. No, she just kept going and did her job.
Yeah, all business.
Which is pretty neat.
So one thing that I have done, and I'm assuming this is all supposed to be for the segment under her umbrella, but
yeah,
that's okay.
Yeah, we
get off track a little bit.
We do a lot. Bitches be tripping.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
She, what I do with her is when she's just regular every day, she has her collar on,
mm-hmm.
and then I have a leash or lead, whatever you want to call it, but a leash that's, 5 feet long or so forth that we'll have her on occasionally. Especially if I'm doing training with her and stuff like that. That's what she wears for that.
Yeah.
But I have a body harness that goes around her and then a particular lead that we track in. I only ever put those two things on her when it's game time.
Yeah.
So I've been trying to ingrain that in her brain that when this vest goes on you mm-hmm. or whatever you want to call that.
Yeah.
I don't know what you call those things, but
body armor, we'll call it.
When that thing goes on you, it's game time.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. and that's, I think it's obviously shown because she's a puppy and puppies want to play and goof mm-hmm. off. But like you said, never once did she do that.
And even afterwards, even when we're telling her congratulations, she still never jumped up on any of us. She stayed right on that deer.
She was too focused on the deer.
I thought she was going to eat the ear off at one point.
Yeah, she was trying to get inside of its ear and tear it off.
She's going for the brain.
And then when your son was dragging it out of the woods, man, it took everything I had to hold her back because she was trying to be on top of that son of a bitch the whole time he was dragging it out of there. So you got to love the drive, you know, I mean, it,
mm-hmm. yep.
She didn't, I've seen this is the Tony Dempsey show. So Tony's dog, I've seen when he gets on his tracks.
Yeah.
He barks, I've seen him bark at the deer. Then I've seen him, tearing hide out of the deer. She didn't bark at it once ever.
Mm-mm.
The only time she ever tried to tear any hide was when she tried to eat its ear off. But mm-hmm.
she did lick its butthole one time.
Yeah, she did that.
Which was creepy.
Yeah, it was a little weird, but.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it is a boy deer. She's a girl, I mean, it's not that weird. Never mind. Continue.
She might have been looking at his package. You never know.
It did have a set of nuts on it.
Yeah, it did.
Tell you
so
that.
So she, can't let that go. Show off my nuts. There you go.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're talking about me or the deer. So.
Both.
Yeah, I was out there with my nuts out.
They were definitely out.
But nonetheless, she was driven to be with that damn thing.
Uh-huh.
Like almost when he was dragging it out, she's like, my job ain't done. I'm still tracking it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And it was wearing my arm out trying to hold her off of it, But
yeah,
nonetheless.
Now the day before that, Saturday. That was Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Saturday, I took Jimmy out to my mom and dad's, and I'm letting him hunt by himself. We got a tripod stand, so I don't feel as uncomfortable. And I'm not letting him hunt in the morning by himself. It's an evening, so I know his ass will stay awake. But he sends me a message. We got out in the woods about 1:30, maybe 1:40. 2:05, he sends me a message. Dad, big buck heading your way. So I get up and I'm holding my bow and I'm waiting. So I shoot him a message. I said, was it on the path or was it in the woods? He says, oh, it's on the path. I said, okay. So I'm watching that direction. Don't ever see anything. About an hour later, I have a deer come down in front of me, stayed in those woods, never really gave me a shot. He was a real nice eight. I'd say probably in the mid 150s, maybe high 140s, low 150s, but never gave me a shot.
A 158's a stud.
It was somewhere between 145, I'd say upper 140s, low 150s. 8-pointer cracks in
his 150s, that's a hell of a deer.
No, he was nice. I mean, he was wide, he was past his ears, and he was up pretty high. But he would not come out of the timber at all. I mean, he'd come out just far enough to where I can really observe him and enjoy the view, but not far enough to try whizzing an arrow through small little limbs and sticks and stuff. I don't want to wound that one. So the night goes on. He sees a few more big ones, passes up on one, I was pretty proud of him. You know, he tells me it wasn't out past his ears, Dad. He just had four. So I'm kind of assuming a four-pointer wouldn't be out past his ears. But, you know, so, I mean, he's learning. You know, he's passing on stuff that, you know, he knows isn't worth taking a shot at. So we get done at the hunt at the end of the day, and I go over to where he's hunting and, you know, help him get down. And he tells me, he goes, oh, I locked up. So what do you mean you locked up? He said, I had my bow drawn back. I had my sights on him. I had my top pin right where it needed to be. And he goes, I kept thinking, what if I miss? What if it's a bad hit? What if I hit a stick? What if this? What if that? And it walked off while he was ho-humming in his head, what ifs? And I said, are you kidding me? And I said, how big was it? Well, he said it was bigger than the one he shot last year. He said, but it wasn't broken off. It had both sides. And the one he shot last year, I mean, you saw the picture. Mm-hmm. That was definitely, if it had both sides, 150s.
It was a solid deer. Yeah.
It was easily 150s if it had both sides. And he said it was bigger than that. So I'm assuming it's probably the same one I seen. It probably cut me and him and was out chasing and came back down the ridge towards me. But if it was, like I said, it's a solid, you know, mid 140s, low 150s. If not higher, but I that's where I would go with right off the bat. And he said he locked up, and he was so angry about it the whole way home. And I told him, I said, bud, it happens. I said, would you be more comfortable if I was in a stand with you, you know, to kind of let you know, hey, shoot, you know, give him the confidence. He's like, no, I kind of like being by myself. I was like, oh, okay, weirdo. So there's a nice way of saying to hell with you, Dad.
Right.
Yeah.
What bow did you end up settling on getting?
We're just using Mikey's old bow, which I think was that, I don't even really know the name. I know it's Mikey's old one. I took it out this year. We set it up. We put a new arrow rest on it. And yeah, words are hard. And I cannot remember what bow it is. I know it's not his it's not his diamond. It's the one he got after that. I think it's a PSE.
Big deal.
I think it's a PSE. I'm just not sure of the brand. Does PSE got a stinger?
Maybe.
That could be what it is.
Sounds right.
For some reason the stinger's in my head.
That sounds right. I can look here.
But that's what he's using.
Well, I'll tell you why I'm axing.
You tell me why you're axing.
PSC stinger. What's his draw weight? Do you know?
They
have a stinger. Yeah,
pretty low.
That's the answer you're gonna give me. Yeah, low.
He's soft as hell.
Well, I asked that
because he's like baby shit.
He's what, 13?
Yeah.
Okay, so Jake's 12. I had Jake out here 2 or 3 days ago shooting his bear. He's got a bear bow, and I don't know what the draw weight on is it either, but I've got it. I've got those bolts backed out pretty
as far as they can go. Yeah, I'm afraid if I go any farther, it's going to snap back and smack me in the face.
Damn near the edge, and I tightened them. I tightened them down one rotation.
Yeah,
and he drew it,
mm-hmm.
but you could tell that he wasn't going to be able to shoot a half a dozen arrows with it like that.
Yeah.
It was going to be one of those where he could shoot it 2 or 3 times, and he's going to say, hey, my shoulder's wore out.
Mm-hmm.
So I backed it back off a half a turn the other direction instead of the full turn, and he's been fine with that. He shot, I don't know, he probably shot 20 arrows. But
nice.
It's not enough to kill a deer, though. I mean, he's going to need more than that. So
yeah,
but he is 12.
I mean, Jimmy's, I mean, from the penetration we got when we were out at the shooting range, I think with the penetration, I mean, it's a little bit less than me and Mikey, and we both shoot, you know, 60, 65, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, he's maybe 2-3 inch less penetration on the target than us. So, I mean, I'd say he's probably about 45 to 50 pull.
Okay.
Somewhere in that range.
Well, 45 is fine, but
yeah.
Yeah, Jake's not. There's no way his is that. But.
And that's also why I told him, you know, you range everything and you don't shoot past 20. You know, because I've seen him shoot at 20. I said, if it's past that 20, I don't care if it's 22, you don't let it rip. You find your 20 mark and that's where you shoot to. If it's inside that, you know where you're at. Outside of that, I don't, you know what I mean? I just don't know if there would be enough to kill on a 30-yard shot. Like me, I'd be comfortable taking a 30, 35, you know, and knowing that it's going to penetrate enough to kill. But I don't want him to shoot a deer at 30 yards and have the damn arrow stick in 3 inches and just flop, you know, or, you know, 2 inches and just flop as he's running away.
Yeah, I'll shoot in the deer woods. I'll shoot up to about 40. And it's not that I practice up to 60. I mean, you know where my range is right out here, and I have 60-yard marks out there.
Yeah.
I'll practice that far, but in the timber, I'm not taking a 60-yard shot.
No.
There's just not going to happen.
No.
You know what I mean?
Nope.
It's too thick. Can't do it. But I'm not hunting, you know, big open agriculture land or
anything
like
that
where I can let one rip like that. Now, we probably could out of the redneck blind out here. But,
yeah. If you get something come up towards this way, popping out.
Yeah. But, I mean, I don't hunt in there a whole lot, especially this year since my food plot didn't come in because of the damn drought.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have a whole lot to really, I mean, it sits over the food plot. That was the idea behind it. And it just didn't really pan out this year. Anyway, so yeah, you got a couple deer in the freezer. Here's the summarization of my deer season so far. I backed out of the garage this morning to take Jake to school.
Mm-hmm.
My target buck standing on the back of my pond back here. Back side of the pond. Standing there looking at me back out.
Of course he is. Why wouldn't he?
I'm like, you got to be shitting me. And that's what I told Jake on the way to school. I said, this season has been so aggravating to me. And that right there, I don't know whether to be excited about it because I had another sighting of him.
Uh-huh.
Or because that does fire me up. I mean, I see him and I want to be out there chasing him. But it also aggravates me at the same damn time. Like, why are you there? You know what I mean? You're never anywhere where I'm predicting you're going to be.
Yep,
but you show up right there.
I have a story for my dry fire that kind of relates to that.
It's a slap right in the tits.
It was a huge slap in a huge set of tits. I promise you. Yeah.
Cool.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, and then, like, this morning, my Tacticams were going off, sending me pictures. I got pictures from about 6:40 p.m. last night-ish, you know, somewhere in that range.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I got out of the tree last night at 5 or a few minutes after, whatever it was. There was a couple deer milling around, so I had to wait a little longer than I typically do. But I get out of the tree, but about an hour or so after I got out of there, they were all over my two scrapes. I've got a stand location that I call Badlands, and I've got a stand location that I call Deepwoods Creek. And both of those mock scrapes that I have in there, deer all over them, including my target buck, an hour after I leave.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Their watches went off, their little alarms went off, and they said, hey, let's go.
Tim's pretty out. Well summarizes what I've got going on this year.
Mm-hmm.
So I did my Deepwoods Creek stand. I went out there yesterday midday. I was hoping it wouldn't mess up any hunts.
Yeah.
But I wanted to turn the stand, so it was facing to the north, which is all I have ever known these deer to approach from was from the north, but for whatever reason, they've been approaching from the south. So I spun it around, so I know I made some noise and shit out there doing what I had to do, but I got it spun around, was facing back to the south, and well, it's more like a southeast, but neither here nor there. So I'm sitting in that stand last night, and I never heard him.
Mm-hmm.
Never once heard him. I stood up to stretch my legs. It was four. I think I have it noted down in case I do a Rutpalooza episode on it. It was, quote the set off the Jeopardy music here. The
dum 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 dum. Dum, 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 dum.
4:30.
Okay.
4:30, he rolls in, apparently. I stood up to stretch my legs, and I just happened to turn around, and there he is.
Yeah.
Had no clue. You know, like you've said before, squirrels come rolling in, and they they sound like a damn army rolling through there.
I hate squirrels.
But
I freaking hate them.
A deer, 150, you know, he's a little spike, so
yeah.
120-pound spike can roll in there, and never know he's there.
Like a ninja.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I look down. I'm like, you little bastard, when'd you come in here? You know?
Yeah.
At 10 yards from me. He never knew I was there, which is good.
Yeah.
But I didn't know he was there either.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Had little 3-inch spikes on him. Where was I going with that? I had a point.
Oh, you're talking about the luck of your season this year, and you had a couple different stands.
Oh, yeah, so the point of that was I spun it to face to the south.
Yeah, yeah.
And this prick rolls in from the north. North,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. And what the hell?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so.
Every time you think you got them figured out.
Yeah, you don't.
They laugh.
Yeah, you don't.
And say, to hell with you. I change.
And like last night, we had a west wind.
Yeah.
I think it was about 10 miles per hour. And there was 3-4 does. I saw a buck. But I couldn't tell what he was.
Yeah.
I could just see antlers because it was, like I said, it was getting pretty darkish, and I could see him scooting through there.
Yeah.
I think it might have been my target buck because later on when I got the trail camera photos sent to me, he's on that trail camera. So from where I saw him.
Mm-hmm.
So it's got to be him, I believe. But all to the west of me.
Are you hunting tomorrow?
They know their wind, man.
Yeah.
They know their wind.
Mm-hmm.
No, I got to be in Paducah all day tomorrow.
Oh, Tim.
And then we hit the gun season. And then Monday, I have to cover Marion.
Are you hunting tonight?
Maybe, yeah.
Well, you need to get that.
Just depends on if I can get over to Roll King and do what
you
I need
to
do.
Get your target buck in, because after Friday morning, the Orange Army back there is going to be blasting.
Oh, I know.
So that spike's gone. You can kiss his ass goodbye.
Yeah.
All 7-8 inches of them gone.
Oh yeah. Yeah, he well,
he'll be calling Pope and Young after they shoot that spike.
Well, if they shoot one, I hope it's that one.
Yeah, no shit.
not the one that I want.
Uh-huh.
So we'll see. But he the buck that I was after last year, he skated through the gun season unharmed. So he ended up skating through the whole damn season period unharmed, and that's the one I'm after this year.
Mm-hmm.
So one other thing I did before we move on is I had that story where I was telling you about I knocked my freaking, I climbed up in the tree and then ended up knocking my rope off and had to climb back down to, you know,
have
my bow attached to it. There.
Yep.
I've always kept just one bow rope in my bag. That's the one I use. So when I get to the tree, I pull it out of the bag, I hook it onto the bow, I carry it up with me, and then I hoist it up. I don't know of any other times that I've ever knocked it off.
Yeah.
Before I hoisted up. But I did that day. So lesson learned, I went and bought some new ones. I think they're like Hunter Specialty or something like that is the name of them. I bought one for every stand, and I got two in my backpack.
There you go. So you are prepared.
I'm golden. And I didn't know this till yesterday evening, or my morning, sorry, when I was going out for my morning hunt yesterday. I'm walking through the woods. Of course, it's pitch black. And I got my headlamp on, and I go by this the stand that I was going to initially hunt, I chose to not go to that one. So I went to it initially. Then I'm like, I'm not going to hunt here. And I moved on to the other one. Well, that happens to be where that morning where all the deer came
You
know, on camera. They were all right there around that stand.
Yeah.
I moved on to my other one. But what I didn't know is they're reflective. You can't miss my tree stands in the dark.
Really?
No. That rope, I was walking in
the
there.
The whole rope's like, reflective?
The whole thing.
Oh, shit.
I'm walking in there. I'm like, what in the hell is that? Because it was like a glow coming straight down the side of the tree. And then it's all in a circle. You know, or it's a 30-foot rope, and I only go up about 18. So at the end of it, I just roll it in a little circle, and I hang it on my climbing sticks. So I just have this glow of a circle and a line heading straight up. I'm like, that's my rope. So, yeah, they're
that
reflective.
That is pretty cool.
They're reflective.
Like mine's got, on the base of most of mine, have like a little orange reflector right before the little carabiner deal.
Mm-hmm.
So that little orange piece is reflective.
That's how you see them, yeah.
Yeah. But I normally don't even really recognize them because I walk and turn and there's my stand.
Yeah.
But, yeah, But yeah, they've got that, and it messes me up because I showed when we were looking for that, you know, I was showing you where that deer crossed the creek and hopped up.
Yeah.
And I said, okay, see that tree with the orange thing up there? Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I hunted that tree probably about 8-9 years ago.
And still has that up there.
And I put it up there because that's what I would do. If I would just go out randomly when I first started hunting those woods, and I would find a tree and I'd be like, man, it looks like there's some good signs out here. I'd climb that tree and I'd hunt it for like a weekend. And if I had good activity, you know, the first day I would leave that orange marker in the tree. And this way I could go back, find that tree as I'm walking down that path because I put it out, hanging out for the right. So when you look up, you see it. So I know I'd go to that tree and I'd hunt it. And if that tree was a good tree, I would leave it in. But I haven't hunted that tree in probably 7 years. I mean, you see how close my stand is to it now. But back in the day, I didn't have any stands out there. I would just go and climb trees. And that's, I mean, there's probably a couple more trees out there. If you look around up in the air and then when it's dark, you'll see a orange light glow. That's right. A tree I've hunted.
Yep.
And if it's a shit tree at the end of the weekend, I pull that bastard out.
There you go.
Yeah. Bye, Felicia. Exactly.
That's what you say.
To that stand.
I want to talk about morning versus evening hunts. I'm going to get the word correct.
Okay.
Crepuscular.
Oh, God. Here we go back with that word again.
Deer are most active at dusk and at dawn. Mm-hmm. They're crepuscular. Now, all bets are off during the rut, of course.
Mm-hmm.
But pros and cons, morning hunts versus evening hunts, which makes a better hunt? And I know that varies depending on where you're hunting. So
yeah.
Well, I've hunted this property for 12 years. For all 12 of it, it is a better evening hunt property. The deer are moving to feed. They cut right through here. And it's just always been known as a evening hunt. I've killed some deer here in the mornings, but as far as quantity, I see many, many more on my evening hunts than I do my morning hunts. So here's my pros. I'll let you say what you want, but morning hunts, pros. You're getting in at dark, hopefully not jumping deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When you're moving in the afternoons for those evenings, you never know.
There's a lot of chances.
Yes.
Especially this time of the year.
So when you're getting in at 5 o'clock in the morning or whatever time you go, I'm usually about closer to 5:30, but more often than not, you're not bumping them. You're getting in more stealthy. I absolutely love morning hunts for watching the woods come to life.
Mm-hmm.
I love to sit there, and as that sun starts to pop through and you start hearing the birds and the squirrels are making their commotion that they do, I know how you feel about that. Mm-hmm. But I love watching it all come to life because I just sit there and think God's creation, you know, right here.
Yep.
You know, it's a beautiful thing. Daylight hours, you see the deer.
Yeah. Okay.
You're not dealing with dusk, right? So low light conditions. You've generally got pretty good light.
Yep.
If you kill one, you can track it.
You got all day.
Get the animal taken care of all during light.
Yep.
And then something a lot of people don't think of and something I never really put a whole lot into is thermals. But as the sun rises, the temperatures increase, you get an updraft on those thermals.
Mm-hmm.
So that helps a lot as far as scent control.
Yeah.
You know, trying to beat the wind, trying to beat the deer's nose. You know, so thermals play a critical role in the morning. Could be a game changer, really. You know, because with those variable winds and what happened?
Nothing.
Poke yourself in the eye?
No. Something got in my eye.
Okay. So those are the pros to the morning hunts to me. What you got?
I feel kind of like the same in the morning. I like sitting out there and it's like dead silent when you get out there, and then you'll hear that first bird chirp or, you know, I mean, it's always one. And then as soon as you hear that first, they all go, woo, woo, woo. It goes crazy. So that's kind of neat, you know, listening to that startup. And I like the night because you get just the opposite. You'll have all that noise going on, and then it'll flutter down, and that last half hour you're out there, it sounds like the first half hour you come out.
Mm-hmm.
It's back to being dead silent almost. You might occasionally catch a bastard and squirrel chitter-chattering and running around, but for the most part, that last 30 minutes, to me, is kind of like the first 30 minutes, you know, except for instead of it starting up here in one or two, it starts getting quieter and quieter and quieter. And by that last 30 minutes, it's like, unless it's a windy day.
Yeah.
But yeah. But yeah, I like the morning because of the fact that, you know, you get out there before, hopefully before they're up and moving about. I mean, a lot of times when we go out on my dad's property, like I said, he's got 40 acres. So, you know, we'll cover a good percentage of it when two or three of us go out and hunt. One of us usually always say, hey, just jump the doe, or hey, just saw, you know what I mean? Something jump up and take off.
Right.
And that's almost daily. But you don't get blown on, nothing like that. They just take off. They hear something. They see something. They bolt. They're not freaking out and blowing and making a, you know, a scene. So half hour, hour after that, it calms down and everything's back to normal. But I definitely, I mean, I like the morning because of the fact that you have time to search for the deer for after the hunt, as opposed to shooting that deer 5 minutes before it's, you know, 10 minutes before it's dark outside. And then you're out there with a flashlight trying to find blood. If you get a good blood trail, it really doesn't matter day or light. I mean, you're not going to have a problem tracking it, but you start getting those pin drops, especially this time of the year with the leaves out there, and all these leaves out here have them damn red tint to them on some of them, and it looks just like blood or a damn berry. You're like, ooh, blood. No, berry.
Well, what I like about evening hunts, I've always been partial to evening hunts for a couple reasons. One, because I'm not a morning person. I hate getting up in the morning. I mean, I force myself to do it, but I'm not.
Yeah.
I bitch and complain the whole time until I wake up, you know.
Yeah.
The other reason I like evening hunts is, like I said, the property that I hunt for the most part exclusively. I mean, I hunt other areas occasionally, mm-hmm. but for the most part, I'm here.
Yeah.
It's an evening place. And
yeah.
But I like it for more predictable movement. You know, deers are, they're going to travel those funnels and pitch points. And rut or no rut, they got to eat.
Mm-hmm.
So they're moving to food.
Yeah.
They're heading to food, you know, so that makes them more predictable. It's not as random, I think, as it is in the morning.
Yeah.
Or they could just show up anywhere. You know, I have a pretty good pattern of where these deer travel, what little travel path they take to get to feed. I know where that's at, you know, mm-hmm. so... not that they don't beat, you know, their nose beats me occasionally, but I like that just because it's not as, it's more consistent, I guess is the term. It's not as random, you know. But like you said, tracking becomes a little bit more challenging at dark.
Uh-huh.
And then the one that always troubles me, not even the tracking side of it, but is I get to the deer, I get it field dressed, and then now what?
Yeah.
I'm not the guy. I'm too lazy to cut up my own deer.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll just readily admit that right here on the air. I do not cut up my own deer. I would rather pay somebody else to do it for me. So you reach a certain point, a lot of these processes are closed. So where do you go?
Got a solution to that now.
That's normally not a problem in the mornings.
No. I've never had a problem with that in the mornings.
Right.
But I have a solution to that now.
What is it?
Are you done?
Yeah.
I don't want to interrupt you.
No, I'm good.
Okay. Captain, I don't want to be like that asshole. I'm one of them basic bitches. You know what I mean? Yeah, that's me. I'm basic. Webb's in West Frankfort now has a outside drop box with live camera film. This way, if someone comes up to mess with it, they've got them on camera. You know what I mean? Alerts the guy's phone, kind of like the Ring deal, and he can call the police. But yeah, they've got a live drop box now after they close. Big old freezer outside.
I was gonna ask, is it chilled?
Oh, it's a freezer.
Okay.
He told me that the other day when we were in the 80s, it was, I think he said 31 in there, 30 or 31 when it was 85 degrees outside.
Okay.
So it's legit. Now it probably wouldn't be as hard to cool it with it being 25, 30 degrees outside.
Not at all.
Probably just leave the damn door open. But they have a little box, or not even a little box. It's like a small, maybe like a pup trailer size, 28 foot. And you go in it, you put your deer down. It's got all the information. You write your name, all that. You got to have it tagged. You attach that tag to your deer. And in the morning, they call and ask you what you want with it. Because I asked the guy, so what if you wanted it caped? You know, to take it, you know, and get it mounted.
Right.
He's like, we call you guys, we call you in the morning As soon as we come in, we grab the deer, we grab the tags first, come in and call everybody, and then find out what they want with that deer. And then we take it in and get it started.
Okay, so repeat part of what you just said. So you drop the deer off in the freezer. It yep. obviously has your tags that you call into ID and on.
Yep.
And they have a different tag there that has your contact info, like you would drop off for an oil change or something.
Yes.
At it. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yep. And then you fill that out. And then when they come in the morning, they call you before they do anything with that deer.
Interesting.
Because I asked them, I said, what if you wanted to get it caped? You know, or just the antlers cut off of it. You know, because I always like the antlers. I don't care how big they are, mm-hmm. whether right. I use yeah. them for rattles myself or just, you know, as decoration.
Right.
And he said, we don't do anything with that deer until we contact you. So they come in the morning. Let's say they got five in there. They're going to pull those five tags, call all five owners and say, hey, what do you want with this deer? You tell them, I want the basic package. I want my bacon. I want this. I want that. Mm-hmm. And they go to work on it.
Cool. Well, that's so, good to hear.
Yeah.
I like that.
So that's the good thing. Me and Mike were excited about that because me and him are both the same way right now. That's my challenge with night hunting. Is I'm the same way as you. We used to butcher up all our deer. Whenever Todd and Zach and them would come down, we'd shoot two or three in a day, and we'd be sitting out in that barn till 11:30, 12 o'clock at night butchering damn deer.
Yeah.
And I hated it. You know, especially because it's this time of the year. It's 25 degrees outside. Your damn hands are frozen numb. You can't use gloves while you're cleaning deer. I mean, you could use, like, rubber gloves, but
yeah, well,
it doesn't help keep your hands warm.
If anything, it makes you sweat.
Mm-hmm. So we would, you know, I don't miss that one bit. I don't care to take it somewhere and pay $100. And where I go, I think it's like 105, and I usually get 5 pounds of bacon every time too. Mm-hmm. So I take it, I get 5 pounds of bacon. I do the same thing I do with it every time. Most of it's hamburger meat because I make my own summer sausage and my own jerky. So I'm not making any sticks or having them make me sausage. So
yeah,
it cost me about 105 for them to do all that. That is a hell of a lot better than me sitting out freezing my ass off or just wasting the rest of my night cleaning that deer myself.
Yeah. I used to take mine to Shirley's Farms over in DeSoto.
Mm-hmm.
And I switched from Shirley Farms to a place that was in Johnston City because he was a detective at Heron PD. He's retired now, but his dad was a meat cutter for Kroger for a long time, retired as a meat cutter. He went to work with his cousin, I want to say it's his cousin, that opened up a deer processing place in John. It was between John City and West Frankfort.
Okay.
And so Tony, who was the meat cutter at Kroger, went to work there cutting up deer.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I know them personally, so I started taking my deer there. Well, then he decided he was done with it and closed up shop. So then I was like, I don't know where to go. And I knew there was a place in West Frankfort, but I had never been there with yeah. one, you know, and I knew you had gone there. That's where you go with Webb's. So I started going to Webb's. But when I was looking the other day, the whole point of that is I was looking the other day online. So Webb's closes at like 6.
Yeah.
Something like that.
And I mean, after shotgun season, it actually goes earlier. It's like 5 o'clock.
Yeah.
Well, which that's when it's dark.
Shirley Farms goes till 8 p.m.
Yeah.
Webb's is also closed on Mondays.
Mm-hmm.
Shirley Farms is open all 7 days of the week till mm-hmm. 8 p.m.
Yep.
So I just always thought, you know, if I get into an evening hunt and Webb's is closed, I'll just run it to DeSoto. I mean, it's
yeah.
just an extra, you know,
yeah.
10 minutes at the most mm-hmm. to get there. So, and they've done good work in the past for me.
Yeah. So I'd like to have a backup location. I've been going to Webb's since it used to be called Miles Brothers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then these guys bought it and, you know, they've expanded it. They've had some difficulties. Like, I asked them this time.
I did go there when it was Miles.
I asked the kid that was working the front counter. I said, hey, can you check the number you guys have for me in your system when I brought that buck in on Sunday? He's like, yeah. And he read my number, and it was right. And I said, okay. He's like, well, why is that? I said, well, no one called me on my last year. I said, I waited 3 weeks and called you guys. He's like, oh, yeah, we've been busy. I've been, you know, meaning to call more, but I just forget. That's some piss poor business right there. Yeah. Mr. Owner needs to jump on that boy's ass and be like,
call
hey,
your client. Yeah.
Yeah. Cause like I said,
and you don't usually pay till you pick up.
Yeah. You don't pay till you pick up.
That's money.
I mean, you can pay ahead of time, but I always wait till I pick it up. And like I said, it was 3 weeks. And anytime I've ever brought a deer in there before shotgun season, I'm usually getting a call back in 3-4 days, you know, and they're like, hey, your deer's ready. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay. And I go get it.
All right.
And this was 3 weeks. And I had forgot about it. you know, I just, it didn't dawn on me. I've been doing a lot of hunting and working, so it didn't dawn on me. And then my wife said, did you get that deer yet? And I said, no. And I called, and I called on Monday, of course, and they were freaking closed.
Right.
So then I called the following day when me and Mikey were out hunting on Tuesday morning, and they said, yeah, it's ready. Like, eh, I'm sure it is. It's been three damn weeks. If it ain't, you guys are really going to be screwed come shotgun season.
Yeah.
Because you pull up in the back of that place at shotgun season, it's disgusting.
Yeah.
It's something straight out of Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Yeah. I've seen that.
So.
It took, that one I dropped off last year took 10-ish days, I think.
Yeah.
You know, which.
It's usually within 2 weeks.
It was reasonable, you know.
And like with Todd, he'll go in there and tell him, hey, I'm coming back down for the set. Like if he shoots one this weekend, he'll bring it in there and he'll be like, hey, I'll be back down in 2 weeks. You know, is there any chance that you guys can have it done? And almost every time that he's asked them that, you know, they've, I don't know if they pushed his through because he requested it or if they just got him done in a week or, you know, in 2 weeks. But every time he's come back, he's got to be, he was able to pick it up and take it home with him. So that's a good deal.
That's funny. Tony, as we're recording, Tony says, so when are we going to officially change the name to the Tony Dempsey Podcast with Tim and Mike?
Tell him, listen to the next episode, Tony.
Tony, listen. I'll type that now.
Yeah.
Listen to the one I'm recording right now.
Yeah. He will find out real quick.
Hey, let's take a quick commercial. We haven't done a Thoroughgood Boots commercial in a while, and I'm so in love with my new boots. Let's do that one.
Okay.
All right. Check out their Infinity series of leather and rubber boots, offered in both insulated and non-insulated options for your hunting and hiking needs. Thoroughgood's FlexDrive technology adds flexibility and energy return to keep you going while reducing shock and propelling you forward. Their aggressive outsole provides a stable, slip-resisting, flexible platform, allowing for a high-level performance. For those needing warmth in their boots, Thoroughgood offers their Solar Core Aerogel lining. This NASA-inspired technology has been tested to retain 50% more heat with an antimicrobial wicking liner that keeps your feet dry and comfortable. And from personal experience, I'm using that Solar Core technology in my new pair and am absolutely in love with them.
Unless you're tracking the blood trail on a whitetail, tune in for more of the Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast.
Yeah, that's right.
We back. We're being canceled.
We're still being canceled.
Yeah.
That's okay. Shoot it or let it walk. Do you really need to sit all day to kill a rutting buck?
Yeah. I don't think so.
So you're letting it walk.
I'm letting it walk. I mean, I think, I mean, I've got my cameras and I've, very few have I got like a noon picture. Yeah. I'm still getting like maybe up to 9:30. But, you know, I usually stay out till between 9:30 and 10 anyway. That's when I like to stay out till. I like to go. I mean, if it's completely ass dead and I haven't seen nothing, I'm going to get out around 8:45, 9 o'clock, which mm-hmm. I probably shouldn't, but I will. Right. Especially before the time change because you're out there, you know, a while before that. So I'll stay out till normally 9:30, 10. But, I mean, most of my activity is, you know, I don't have very much. I've got a couple. My old split tank came out at noon the other day. But that's like one of the few buck pictures I have at a noon time. And Mikey's got his camera at a different property, and he's not getting lit up between the hours of 11 and 1 o'clock. Now, I will say, going back out, I used to be a 3 o'clock guy. You know, I'd get ready and head out about 2, 2:15, hit the woods about 2:30, 2:40, and hunt till, you know, it's done. Me and Jimmy started doing it earlier this year. I'm like, let's just go out around 1. So we'd get ready, not 1, but we would leave my house by 1, be out in their house, be in the woods by 1:20, 1:30. And we've had a ton of activity at those times and even jumped one coming out at, you know, 1:30.
Right.
But we've had nice bucks between the hours of 2 and 3 o'clock. So I am now a 1:30
go out night hunting guy, not a 2-230.
Yeah, I'm still been in the 2-230 range. I'm going to let it walk as well, based on the question. Do you really need to sit all day to kill a rutting buck? No. Now, if you have the time and the ability to spend that much time out there, absolutely, rock on. And because, like I said, the rut is unpredictable. That buck that the buck I'm chasing, he may roll through at noon, you know, or 1 o'clock in the afternoon. And if you're not there, guess
and especially
what?
If you don't know your property, you know, if you're out on public land and you don't have, like, you know, your property out here, I feel pretty comfortable with knowing Thompsonville. You know, I've been hunting it for 12, 13, 14 years, something like that. I've been hunting for a long time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty comfortable knowing that it's going to light up right off the bat, and then it's going to light up again between 8 and 8:30. After 8:30, it usually falls down, or it continues until, you know what I mean, it ends. So let's say they start at 8:30. You may have some activity while they're in that area till 9, 9:15, but once they're gone, they're usually gone. And then at night, it's the same thing. You know, you get out there and there's really nothing till about 4, 4:15, and then it ignites.
Yeah.
But I'm comfortable with that. But when I go out in public land, I'm really not familiar with it. So I may tend to try to stay around a little bit longer just to see if, you know, if I don't see anything in the morning, I might be like, well, I'm going to stick around till 11, see if I get any movement between the hours of 9 and 11 instead of getting out at 9 every day and saying, well, there ain't no damn deer out here.
Right.
This may be the part of that woods where they don't hit till 10, you know, 9:30, 10, heading back to their bedding area or heading, you know, out to food or whatever.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I look at it from this perspective. I'm going to sound smart again. Here we go. Ready?
Good luck.
Crepuscular.
Oh, what a douche I am.
Yeah.
The biggest bucks I have killed over my hunting journey, 30 whatever years it's been, have always been either at dawn or dusk during those crepuscular time frames.
The crepuscular times.
Yes. I don't know that I've ever shot one at 1 in the afternoon, you know.
No, I have not.
So I'm sticking to that for now, but I'm not saying don't be out there because, like I said, during the rut, all bets are off.
Yeah.
So if you're able, if you don't have to worry about coming in and taking care of a dog or coming in and going to work or coming in and whatever duties you have that day, your errands or whatever, if you're free reign, why not be out there? You know, get down, take a break, you know, get something to eat, whatever. But if you can be out there, be out there.
Well, that Josiah that listens to us, when me and Todd went out.
I just shipped him a hoodie.
Nice. When we went out to the to dinner that day, we were talking about it, and he public land hunts, and he sits all day. But he also has to get out an hour and a half, 2 hours early because it's public land in the Chicagoland area. So the people that do hunt, they all hunt the same area. So he says, I got to walk in real far, and I got to get in about an hour and a half, 2 hours before daylight to be able to get my spot. And he goes, I stay out all day. But once again, you're on public land. You're not really sure of the movement, you know, unless he hunts it every day. But he's only been hunting for a couple of years now. He's, you know, he's just starting to get into it. So, I mean, that's how you learn your property, you know, learn where you're hunting. And to him, I think staying out, you know, for the full day hunt on stuff like that, you'll learn a lot more. You'll know exactly your activity time, especially if you hunt that same spot, you know, for a whole week. Like he was on vacation that week, and he said that he was going to keep hitting it all week. If he hits that all week, he's going to get a general idea of where they're coming, and he may know, okay, I need to move 50 yards that way because I've seen a lot of activity over there, but just out of bow range. And, you know, he'll start learning where he wants to hunt.
Yeah. All right, next question.
Sure.
I don't even know what that note means. I have a note in here. I don't even know what it means. Is it butt naked or is it buck naked?
I like ass.
That's beside the point.
Hmm.
Is it butt or buck naked? We'll say shoot it as butt, let it walk as buck.
Oh.
When you get out of the shower, are you butt naked or buck naked?
I think I'm butt naked when I get out of a shower.
Okay.
If I'm drunk, it's buck naked.
Okay. Explain.
Well, when you're sober, it's just, oh my God, my ass hanging out, I'm butt naked. But when you're drunk, you're like, man, let's get buck naked and crazy. You know? You're gonna do shit. It's gonna happen. But yeah, that's how I feel.
Okay.
What do you think?
I'm taking a note here real quick.
Oh, Lord.
Buck naked and crazy.
Buck naked. I've never thought of it this way, Tim, until you brought this up. So yeah, you've really altered my world right now.
I have always referred to it as butt naked, but I hear people say buck naked all the time. And I think during the hunting season, it should be called buck naked. And then during the non-hunting season, we'll defer back to butt naked.
It absolutely should be.
That's where I'm rolling in.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree with that.
Okay. Hey, this is the Get Your Eat On, which will be brought to you by Wicked Pig Barbecue here in the very next upcoming soon.
Wicked Pig.
You either love bacon or you're wrong.
Dead wrong.
Turkey. Got any turkey seasons coming? So I don't mean hunting season. I'm talking eating turkey. So any plans? What's your Thanksgiving plans? You smoke a turkey? Do you fry a turkey? Do you oven roast a turkey?
I just eat it.
Go somewhere else and let somebody else do it?
Yep.
How are we rolling?
I just go somewhere else.
Okay.
Yeah. But that weekend will be a weekend of summer sausage and jerky making.
There you go.
Because I'm off Thursday for Thanksgiving, obviously, and I always take the Friday afterwards off, and I'm off all weekend. And by that point, I'll probably just need a little break. I may go hunt one day, but at that point, weekend after shotgun, I'm going to let things settle down. I'll be making a lot of summer sausage and a lot of jerky.
Those are some of my favorite hunting days. I don't know why.
Are they?
Yeah. So I always loved, absolutely loved, to get up on Thanksgiving morning and go bow hunt.
Yeah.
Loved it.
Everything's closed.
It is.
Processing wise.
It is. But we got into a habit of where we were doing a turkey trot on Thanksgiving morning.
Sorry, I'm dying.
Turkey trot 5K.
Yeah.
So I stopped hunting because of the turkey trot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I decided we're not going to do that turkey trot anymore, even though it was well attended and people loved it. Because I want to go back into the deer woods. I'm going to be selfish. So yeah. I think on Thanksgiving morning, I'm going to be in my stand.
Yeah. I do.
Depending on what happens between here and then. But
I do have a very good hunting story from a Thanksgiving morning. My parents were actually up north and we were spending it with my grandfather, who stayed back here while my mom and dad went up north. And that morning I told my wife, I said, I'm gonna go hunting today. And I went out, and this was years ago. I mean, this was like one of my second years of hunting. So I was very inexperienced and pretty shitty at it. Okay. Still, you know, learning the basics of it. Well, I'm hunting up in this tree stand and this deer come up over the ridge. It was a doe, and I winged a shot at it, and I heard it take off, and I thought, oh, God, I killed it. You know, I shot it. I was all excited. Waited about half hour or so, because at that time I was just, you know, I had to go find this deer, you know, because I know I killed it. So I go over there, and I'm looking, can't see the arrow, so I'm like, well, I know which way it ran. I'll go find the blood. Well, I walked that way, didn't see shit. So I was like, you got to be kidding me. So I walked back, got in my tree stand. I'm like, I didn't find blood, didn't find my arrow. So I'm like, I'm just going to wait a little bit, and I'm going to go. Well, here comes a bunch of more deer, all coming over that same ridge, just disappearing down below it. And I'm thinking, well, I don't want to shoot another one. I've already got one dead. So I go back over there after, you know, about 9:30. I get out of the tree. I walk over there, and I'm walking all around. I can't find any blood. I'm like, well, I'm going to find the arrow because that'll tell me if I hit it or not. So I'm up there and I'm looking. I don't see an arrow. I'm up there kicking leaves, making all kinds of freaking noise. And I mean, I'm just making all kinds of racket, kicking these leaves. And I look to my left, and about 15, 20 yards away, there's this giant buck. He just throws his head up and looks right at me. And I said, oh, shit. And he's standing there. And I have my bow. At this time, I didn't have a compound. I had a recurve bow. I had my dad's old bow. This is when I first started hunting. My dad let me use his bow. No arrow rest. It's just got that little ledge that you put the arrow on with a little piece of felt.
Yep.
No sights, no nothing. So I said, oh, shit. There's the big buck. I'm going to kill him. So this thing actually lets me put my arrow in. I knocked an arrow, grabbed it with my fingers. I drew it back. I looked at him, let it rip 20 yards away from, not even 15 yards away from me, right underneath him. He jumps up, takes like two or three steps, and behind him, another monster pops up. He was bedded down, sitting down, and these two were together. He jumps up. He's not as big as the first one. I start to knock another arrow 15 yards from these deer. And by the time I went to draw, they took off. But that's when I knew I needed a real bow. That was my lesson learned. Never found the other arrow. Shot that one 15 yards at that deer.
Why are you shooting a Matthews?
What?
You said you needed a real bow, but you're shooting a Matthews.
That is a real bow, Tim. Don't you be knocking my VXR.
It's a nice bow. I'm just
that bitch
you
is
shit.
Like a Cadillac.
Just giving you shit.
Compared to that damn recurve. Son of a bitch. Yeah. Well, I know what happened is as I went to let go, the arrow slid off the lip, and that's why it went straight underneath it. I mean, I hit the ground like 2 feet in front of it, 15 yards away. But as I drew back, you know what I mean? Because you got your fingers on there. I wasn't holding, you know, I had nothing in there. It just, that arrow just slid off the little lip and whoosh, right underneath the deer.
Was this last hunting season?
No, Tim. About 17 years ago. That's why I don't like you.
You love me.
I do.
Well, anyway, back to the turkey. That's where this all started.
Yes, sorry.
So
turkey.
My favorite way to eat a turkey is to smoke it.
Yeah.
I think you can't beat smoked turkey. We usually do Thanksgiving with my mom and dad, and my mom always wants to do the dinner at her house. Mm-hmm. So, and she's not a huge fan of smoked turkey. So what we're going to do is she bought some turkey breasts.
Mm-hmm.
So for Thanksgiving, we're going to spend it at her house, and she can prepare the turkey breast however she so chooses.
Mm-hmm.
So they're always good. I mean, I'm not complaining.
No.
We bought a whole turkey,
mm-hmm.
and at some point in time, I don't know when we're going to do it, if it be before Thanksgiving, which we're running out of time on that.
Mm-hmm.
Need to look into that. But nonetheless, I'm going to thaw that turkey out, and I'm going to smoke it. So we're going to do turkey twice because I just love smoked turkey. So.
You're not bringing the smoked turkey to her house? No. Her house? You're just going to eat smoked turkey one day?
Yeah, it'll just be my family here.
Fair enough.
Mm-hmm.
I've never smoked a turkey.
Oh, it's so good.
In all fairness. I smoked a hell out of hams.
Yeah.
I do like that. And you gave me that little cherry glaze
mm-hmm.
that I always put on it when I make it. And that's pretty damn delicious, too.
It is good.
Mm-hmm.
When I smoke one, I'll cut some off and save it for you so you can try it out. But
okay.
To me, I've had them fried. I love fried turkey, but to me, smoked is the way to go.
Yeah,
it's the best. So
okay,
but I happen to be a barbecue connoisseur, so maybe that's why I'm a little biased. But
it is very possible.
It is so good. I mean, the rub that's on it, I keep it in a marinade or what's the word I'm looking for? That's not it. A brine. I keep it in a brine bath for 2 days. So mm-hmm. it's like 48 hours in this brine. So just so much moisture in it.
Hmm.
You know, I mean, there's points where you cut into that breast and like juice will squirt out of it because it just takes on so much moisture.
Kind of breast I like.
Oh, man.
Squirting breast.
There you go. It's good stuff.
Sicko.
Good stuff. Yeah. Well,
yeah.
I would like to point out that I have yet to have to pee. I do have to pee right now, but I have not had to interrupt the podcast to go pee.
Rocking a shirt with piss all over the bottom of it.
Right, that either.
I'm pretty proud of you, Tim. You're really stepping up here lately.
Oh, bringing my A game to this podcast. It's the Tony Dempsey Show. You got to bring your A game.
Yeah, or else we'll let you go.
Backwoods Canine Tracking at backwoodscaninetracking.com. Also, check us out on unitedbloodtrackers.org. United Blood Trackers is dedicated to the use of trained tracking dogs and the ethical recovery of big game. As we're recording this podcast, I got somebody texted me needing a tracking dog down by Metropolis, and he sent me a bunch of pictures of some blood.
Metropolis.
That's it. So, Emmylou has had, just in the month of November, well, I wrote 20 because it was 20 calls. Now, I guess 21.
21.
She has had 21 calls of service.
Hmm.
And I I don't necessarily take all of the calls, like me, yeah, answer them, but I do get back to everybody. And I'm goofy. I like to keep a spreadsheet of all my calls. So I like to keep track of where they're coming from and the reasons why I either declined or accepted going on them. And congratulations, you made the spreadsheet, by the way.
Whoop, whoop.
So for the most part, I decline them. And as I've mentioned, you know, when we started tracking with her, she was only 5 months of age, and mm-hmm. now she's only 6 months of age. And I'm very, very selective on what I send her on because we got to, we need dead deer. You know, I need that confidence builder for her.
Yep. And,
I mean, you saw how she ran on yours.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she was golden.
Yeah.
You know, and I want that. I want to see her succeed early on, you know, especially. So yeah. I turned down a bunch of them. But the point of this is, as we touched on this earlier, is how many of these, when I vet all these calls, you know, I'll start asking questions, you know, what was your shot like? Do you have blood?
Mm-hmm.
What were you using? You know, what kind of broadhead?
Yeah.
I try to get all of this information before I say, yeah, we're coming, or no, we're not. It's unbelievable to me. As I was sitting in the tree stand yesterday, I pulled up Facebook and I went, it was that Illinois deer hunting page or whatever. Illinois, it was, I don't know, one of them pages,
okay.
Illinois deer or something. Somebody had made a post on there about, you know, people and their tracking dogs, they're running wild right now, like putting a lot of miles on their feet. And then it went on to say, is everybody out there really that bad of a shot? And then, of course, the feedback underneath it, the comments were all over the map, you know, like anything would be on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Speaking of Facebook, check out the Backwoods Canine Tracking page on Facebook if you want to follow along with us. You just send me a little request that you want to join us, and we'll let you in.
Yay, yay.
You can see some little Emmy Lou footage. So I don't usually comment on Facebook too much, but like one guy on there said, I don't think it has anything to do with the fact that they're bad shots. I think it's people just know the dogs are better trackers than humans, and they just want the best thing, you know, as far as recovery goes. So they just instantly call the dog, and that's why these dogs are more popular now than ever.
Yeah.
So I replied and said, well,
yeah,
the biggest majority, I'm not saying all of them, but the biggest majority of my calls have been bad shots.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of high shoulder. A lot had one in the rear hip, one in the brisket.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of that stuff, you know. And folks tend to believe that there's some magical cure.
Yeah.
I shot it in the hip. Okay, call a dog.
Yeah. He'll find a dead deer somewhere.
Yeah.
Or he won't.
It's just,
or he won't.
It's just not going to happen.
Y'all. No.
So,
She's
new to tracking.
Yeah.
She's doing an amazing job. But I will screen every single call that I probably forever, not just this year. You know, because one, it's my time.
Yep.
It's miles on my boots.
Now
it's,
you're getting paid for it.
I do. But it's still
your time.
It's my time. And it's
sometimes it ain't worth the money.
Travel time. Mm-hmm. And it's also confidence with the dog, you know, her confidence.
Mm-hmm.
When we go out there and come up empty handed, you know, I can't talk to her. I don't know what she thinks, but. You know, I need those confidence builders.
Mm-hmm.
So I do turn down a bunch of them, and I'm sorry. You know, and I had a guy pissed off at me in the stand a couple nights ago. He was texting me while I was in the tree stand, and I was a little selfish for that one. I said, I'm hunting. I'm not coming.
Yeah.
But as we went into that, he got mad at me, you know, because I asked him, I said, well, you know, if I'm able to make it, what are we looking at? What kind of shot? Was it a good shot? You know, I was asking him the same questions, and he just stopped talking to me, you know, so... which told me it was probably a shit shot.
Yeah. Probably zero blood, nothing on the arrow, but he's sure he's dead because he saw it hit the deer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if you shoot a deer, it dies.
Oh, absolutely.
Doesn't matter where you hit it.
No.
I mean, you can hit it right above the hoof, and it'll eventually die.
You can just take a little fur off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it'll die.
You can skin some fur, and it'll die from freezing to death when that cold spot, you know, that furry, furless spot gets cold.
I think a lot of it is, you know, you hear us on this podcast talk about it all year long. Mm-hmm. Shoot your bow. Shoot your bow.
Practice.
Shoot your bow.
Mm-hmm.
Don't go out there in October having never picked up your bow the entire summer and aim at a deer. I mean, you are not being an ethical hunter by doing that.
No, no, no.
Shoot your damn bow.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I think
that's... And you don't have to shoot it, I don't think, as much as we do. I don't think you have to shoot
it
as much as we do.
No, I shoot it a lot because I'm in love with it.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of my favorite things ever to do.
Uh-huh.
You
know? And I like taking the boys out and going doing it, you know, and shooting together.
Right.
But we don't do it as much as we should. But if you don't, you know, I mean, if you're not out at least 5 to 10 times before hunting season just to make sure you're dialed in and you're shooting between 10 and 30 and you're comfortable, you shouldn't be out hunting. You should not get that bow, pick it up, and say, well, hell, last year it was dead on. I shot that deer and dropped him 20, you know, didn't go 20. And you jump out there and you go, and you're SOL.
Mm-hmm.
Like Todd's miss, I know, and Todd's been shooting, which is really weird. You know, I mean, Todd's the only one who did the 10-day challenge all 10 days, and he sent us the pictures. I mean, he was dead on. But when he went out and had that big one come in and shot underneath it, he went and looked, and his actual, the little, I don't know what you call them, the little eyes in your sight was loose, and it had dropped.
The pin?
Yeah, the pin fell. There it is, the pin. That's the big word I was looking for. It had dropped, because he went out, and he said, man, this ain't right. And he went out and shot, and he was way the hell off. His pin had dropped. And Todd has shot multiple times in the summer. So it's not like Todd grabbed his bow and went out, but it's just one of those things. You know, I in my bag with my bow, I have a set of Allens. And I always, every time I go out and shoot, I make sure everything is tight every single time. I don't know why. It's just maybe I'm an anal guy. But every time, I make sure that they're tight.
You like anal, huh?
Sometimes.
I heard you like the tip.
Just the tip. After that, it starts hurting. But yeah. You know, and I mean, Todd's a responsible guy.
Yeah.
He's not the kind of guy that picks his bow up and goes out and goes hunting.
Sure.
I mean, he shoots it. And he was comfortable with his shot. And then when the day came, he was like, what the hell happened? And then when he went and practiced or went and, you know, go sight it in, he realized that the pin had dropped. So I have a set of Allens in my hunting bag. And every time I go shooting, I take it out and just make sure everything on my sight, on my release, is all tight. And I guarantee you Todd will start doing that now.
Mm-hmm.
He can be like, I better check these damn pins.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. All right. That's it.
Okay.
I've been hornswoggled.
What dry fires your bow, sir?
I've been holding this in.
Been hornswoggled?
Yeah. Yeah. I actually got a call from the lady I bought the land from. Because it's still in her name right now. We're still going through all that nonsense.
Sure.
But people that live next door don't hunt, but they had someone come in and hunt yesterday.
Oh.
Yeah. So last night.
On the part you bought on the other part?
On his part, okay. Which touches my part.
Gotcha.
His part touches my part. I don't like that. I get a picture of it.
Bible says two men ought not lay together.
As they shouldn't. So
your
I get a picture
shouldn't touch each other.
At 7 o'clock and I see some legs past the camera. I said, huh. So I shoot Mikey a message. You in Thompsonville tonight? Shoot my buddy Dan, who lives on the other half of the property I bought. I shot him a message. Dan, is Scotty out in the woods? Mikey responds back, no, I'm at work. Dan replies back, oh, it's some guys who are hunting Marvel's property retrieving a deer they shot. Oh, okay. So.
Which they can't do without permission.
Well, they went and talked to them.
Okay.
They went and asked them.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, because technically.
But they're on your camera.
I know. Now, this guy is a Alabama game warden. So, A.
The hunter. Okay.
Is an out-of-state guy.
Okay.
Pisses me off anyway. I think we've discussed how we don't like people coming into our town and shooting our deer.
Mm-hmm.
They could stay in Alabama. They could stay in Chicago. They could stay wherever the hell they want, kill their own shit, leave ours alone. So it's an Alabama game warden guy. So I sent Dan a message back. I said, hey, you don't by any chance know what he shot, do you? He responds back, yeah, they brought it to my ma's and showed her. It was a 10-pointer. Only got one 10-pointer I've ever seen on camera out there. And it was that real thick one that mm-hmm. I showed you that was like the one that I would legit shoot for potential antler. So they shot it. So yeah, so I was a little pissed off last night.
Well, sure. So you don't technically own that
not yet
parcel yet.
Not 100%. Yeah, no.
Okay.
No, we're in the process of a payment deal.
Okay, I gotcha. So yeah. The reason I asked that was because the parcel over there that we bought,
yeah,
that I've been spending a lot of time on, mm-hmm. we own it.
Yeah.
However, if you pull up the records on it, it still has the previous owner's names. Or if you pull it up on Onyx, it still shows the previous owner's names.
Mm-hmm.
So Ashley Gott, who's our Williamson County treasurer, is a friend of mine. And so he oversees all the property tax records.
Mm-hmm.
I actually just asked him Monday, how long will it take before that updates and becomes mine, where it shows it's mine?
Mm-hmm.
And he was telling me that it goes through the assessor's office, and it's it probably won't show anything until actually the next tax season. So we're talking next summer
mm-hmm.
before those records will actually show our names on it as the owners and not, the previous.
Yeah.
So that's why I was asking that, because I technically own that. So whomever in Illinois, and if you're going to track on somebody else's property, you mm-hmm. have to get property permission.
Yeah. Yeah.
They would have to come to me and say, is it okay?
And like I said, right now we're buying it through her. It'll be ours next year.
Okay.
But they went and talked to them, and they said, yeah, go ahead. So she actually just called me while we were in here, so I'm going to see if she's got a picture. Just so I know. Maybe it's a fluke deer. Maybe it's one that came in from across the street.
A rut buck that happened to show up there, yeah.
That's what I'm praying for.
Yeah.
But if it's that one that I got on camera, I'm going to go find this cat stand and cut it out of the fucking tree this weekend.
Yeah, that's frustrating, man.
Yes.
I always felt that way with these gun hunters, mm-hmm. To my south, is I'll spend the entire October and first half of November chasing a particular deer, and then
mm-hmm.
they'll put on their orange and go out there and shoot it the first Friday of the season,
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And part of that pisses me off. But the other part of it is, I think I have to reel myself in sometimes and say, okay, they're legally doing it.
Yeah.
And it's not their fault that I hunted it for 6 weeks and couldn't get the job done either.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it still pisses me off.
Yep. So. Yeah. And it really digs the knife in the back when you find out he's an out-of-state guy.
Yeah. Sure.
And he's probably hunted it 2 days.
I'm getting ready to hunt out of state, so I can't say much.
I've hunted the shit out of this land this year. You know what I mean? Me and Mikey hit it during that rut 3 or 4 times.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of activity, just nothing that big. And then
he wasn't hunting on the section that you're buying.
No.
He was only tracking over there.
Yes.
Okay.
He was tracking there. But what happens is right where you pulled in, mm-hmm. that driveway, there's that power pole to your left.
Mm-hmm.
Right past that's a fence line. Okay, that marks mine. The other side where those tractors and equipment was,
mm-hmm.
that's the other guy's property.
Okay.
And there's a big pond right there. Now, people he's given permission to hunt before have been right on that fence line hunting that pond. That fence line's to the pond is only 20 yards, 30 yards. I don't know what the law is that you have to be off fence line, or if you just can't face the fence, face their property.
I think it's a certain distance. It's like 50 yards or something.
I thought it was something like 30 to 50 yards off a fence line. Or I was also told, and like I said, I don't know which one's true, you could be close to it, you just can't face it. Like if you're going to face it, it has to be within said distance.
Yeah.
If you're going to face away from it, you can hunt. Here's the fence. Here's a tree. You can climb that tree. As long as you're facing away from it and you're not hunting his property. I'm just curious where he shot that deer.
Yeah, I don't have an educated answer on that. I'm not sure.
Because most of his land on my side is a strip, a pond, big old, this year was corn, and then he's got one little fence row down the back, like one little patch of woods down the back part of his property behind that field. So if he shot it there, like down in that fence line, and it ran and went in that way, okay, different story.
Right.
But I also want to know if the son of a bitch gutted it on my property, because that would piss me off. I would hope he'd have the decency to pull it out of the woods, take it somewhere and clean it, not right in the middle of my deer. Because one year they let someone come down there and hunt. I climbed my tree because it was dark. It was the morning. And when I got done, I was like, God damn, what is that? I thought there was a bag on the ground. about 10 yards from my tree. I thought it was a bag. And I was like, what the hell is that? So when I finally got done hunting, I climbed down, walk over, it's a gut pile. Literally 10 yards from my stand. So these guys, when they cleaned that deer, had to see my freaking stand.
Right.
But when I walked in, it was pitch black. I walked to my ladder, climbed up. When it got daylight, I looked, and I'm like, it just looked like a bag. You know, because it was a day old or 2 days old by that point, and it kind of had that, you know, grayish look. And, yeah, it was a pile of guts.
Well, my question, too, would be, what if he didn't know you? If he went and got permission to track.
Yeah.
Okay, and they say, yeah. What if you were out there? What if you're out there hunting?
Yeah.
And here comes this guy just boom, 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 boom.
Yeah.
Walking through there while you're hunting.
Now, in fairness, I caught the picture at 6:44 of the guy's legs walking through. By that point, I would have been out of the woods.
Right, sure.
You know, but I don't know how long they tracked, you know, when they went and asked permission. I'm actually going to call her back on the way home and find out all the information, see if she's got a picture.
Yeah.
Which I'm kind of hoping she does so she could send it. And at the same time, I'm kind of hoping she doesn't.
Yeah, right.
I wish I would have never caught these legs on the camera.
You don't want to know.
Yep. Yeah. I wish I would have never caught these legs on my camera.
Right.
Because for all I would have ever known is they went and got that deer and left, and I would have had no freaking clue. Because I won't be back there till next, you know, not this weekend coming up, but next weekend will be the next time I hunt it, like Thanksgiving weekend.
Right.
Because this weekend's done. Now, me and Mikey might go shotgun hunt it Sunday night. We're debating going and shotgun hunting it Saturday night just to see.
Saturday night or Sunday night, you said?
Sunday night.
Okay.
Yeah, Saturday night, we'll be at my dad's, and then we'll be here, if you're available.
I hope to be.
Okay.
All right, got anything else, or we want to wrap it up?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm with you on all that. Mm-hmm. So the Tony Dempsey Show can be found at backwoodsbowhunter.com, and maybe it'll be at tonydempsey.com. Who knows?
Who knows?
Click on that merch link, gets you some Backwoods or Tony Dempsey merch, and you can also find us on Facebook and Instagram at Backwoods Bowhunter Podcast. Or via email at backwoodsbowhunterpodcast@gmail.com. I do reply to all of those, so if you send me something,
like and share. Yeah, like and share.
Review us. Give us a 1-star or a 5-star. I don't give a shit. Whatever you want to do.
Yeah.
Those reviews actually help us grow.
So tell us, wow, I hated it. I love it.
It takes you 10 seconds. If you listen to us, you're already there.
Yeah.
You're on the app.
Yeah.
It takes a click of a button.
Even if you lie and just like, it sucked, but I'm going to say it was good anyway.
Right.
We'll take that.
Click it.
Yeah.
Do it.
Mm-hmm.
Get her done.
Yeah.
I guess that's it.
You could also be found at TonyDempsey'sABadass.com. I heard that one's pretty popping.
So you all know what to do. Grab your bow and get after it.
Get your kids out.
Thanks for listening to another Backwoods Bowhunter episode. Didn't get enough? Climb down out of your tree stand. And get ready for another epic episode next week. The Backwoods Boys will take you back downrange for more bow hunting content.